Hi, Noon.
Hello, Noon. Hello, Noon. It's Bill. It's Wendy.
Are we discombobulated?
Well, everything's a little off-kilter, off-center, because you and I are not accustomed to a break anymore between the regular show and the bonus hour, but we just had 25 minutes to just do whatever you want.
What'd you do?
I started a college fund.
For who?
Anyone who needs it.
I went and visited in sales for a while, talked to...
Did they know who you were in sales?
Yeah, Karen Moss and Brad Foray.
Oh, good people.
Brad has a little fish tank back there, so I was sitting... There's an empty cubicle.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there just kind of gazing into the fish tank.
This building has more aquariums than any other building I've ever been.
Aquaman.
Yeah, even... I've been to the Aquaman building, and he's got a small aquarium on the main mezzanine. But this building...
One goldfish.
That's it. I'm very disappointed in Aquaman. But this building, some reason, has aquariums, aquarii, fish tanks everywhere.
I could sit and watch that all day, and I would love it in my bedroom because there's just a soft light. I like the bubbling sounds.
Very soothing.
And I had goldfish for a while because, you know, you win them at the little fun fairs at your school.
Yeah, sure.
The poor things see this giant ping pong ball coming at them.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're injured, and then you keep them and hope they live for a while.
The life expectancy on those goldfish is very small.
It is. Well, that's because they're,
small.
You know, they're shocked when that ping pong ball comes in.
It's got to be very jarring. Think about it, Wendy, if they put you in a jar and a giant was throwing ping pong balls at your head, that would be the worst day of your life, wouldn't it?
Why?
That's their whole existence.
Why aren't you planning carnival games?
I should do that. We had, at various times in my life when I was growing up, my dad had tropical fish. At one time, he went nuts and just put aquariums everywhere.
Really?
I don't know what happened. Yeah, we had a bunch of them.
He doesn't do it anymore?
No.
There is a lot of upkeep, and I love the people who have aquariums who tell you there's not much upkeep, because there is.
So much. It's nonstop.
It's not on a 100% daily basis other than feeding them, but you have to, like, squeegee the sides of the walls.
Algae always collects, so you have to get rid of that. There's various drops you have to put in the water to balance whatever needs to be balanced in tropical fish water. You have to every once in a while, a fish sadly will die. So you have to take the net. It's very sad.
Well, that's an obvious one. You're not going to let the dead fish float to the top.
You also, there's a lot going into the planning of the landscape of the tropical fish.
That's my favorite part.
You have to put in a bridge that keeps opening and closing.
No, you don't.
Or an Asian palace.
What about trunk with jewels and gems that opens and closes?
With a nearby either mermaid or deep sea diver standing guard.
Right.
You have to put that in. And I imagine this lulls the fish into the belief that they are in a tropical pond of some sort, I guess.
I'll tell you, this one Brad Foray in sales has set up in the empty cubicle. It's just a square. Typically, you have a rectangular aquarium.
Right.
This is just a square glass all sides, little neon fish in there.
Yeah, the tetras.
Yes.
I know those fish.
I was excited. I thought it was tetras, and I thought you could play Tetris.
No. It's totally different.
With the fish, because
totally
that's my
different.
Favorite game. But it was just that's what I did. And then I did some production work, and then I walked around, and I thought, it's a couple minutes after noon. I wonder when we're going on.
The answer is now.
Yeah, but no one, like, called me or texted me.
Jasmine was in a tizzy.
Were you in a tizzy, Jazz?
And Tizzy was in a Jasmine.
I wasn't. I was here. Were you? So you weren't in a tizzy?
No.
She handles her tizzies well. Because anyone else would have crumbled. But she's like, well, we can do this.
Was anybody about to text me to say we're going live?
No, we were just going to look around and look at the spiders in the one window.
We had plans.
You know, that is another thing. This is our little animal hunk here. We're Steve Dale, noted pet expert when you need him.
Especially on a day after some major news person is called a dog, you'd think Steve Dale would be at his beck and call ready to discuss this, but no.
There are spiders here, and then I hear this company that advertises, it's like Muffet's Revenge or Little Miss Muffet's.
Oh, I heard them this morning.
Yes,
yeah.
Me too. And it's like, why can't they use them on skyscrapers?
I don't know that particular company comes up as high as we are. We're on the 18th floor here, and there is. We've mentioned this before. I don't understand the arachnid world, but for some reason, here on our floor, as you look out the window, there's spiders everywhere. Good-sized spiders.
They're ginormous.
Really big.
And I have a big spider that is there to greet me at our front door. We have a light fixture, as most people do, on their front porch. And we saw some webbing, and I'm like, oh, there's got to be a spider somewhere here. And there's a huge spider that is hanging out near our light. And I quite honestly don't really know what to do because I don't want to get up on a chair and try and knock it down because if it falls in my hair, you'll never find it.
Oh.
And it'll,
sick.
It's big. It's pretty big. And then I heard this Muffet's Revenge and you can
great
spray
it. Great name.
Isn't it?
Great name. Yeah.
And you can spray it on the actual spider. I don't really like to kill things.
But does it just slowly succumb?
I don't know. I know it's terrible, and I know what was Marsha's friend, Harvey Klinger.
Harvey Klinger was the bug guy, yeah.
He would be disappointed in me, but, you know, I don't really want to share my house with bugs.
My daughter Reese has now done a thing with me where I'm no longer allowed to kill a bug that's in the house. I must trap it in a newspaper or a Kleenex or something and then bring it to the nearest exit and let it roam free. And I have to say, I feel better about myself.
I do that with everything, but I mean, a lot of times I'll just catch like a moth in my hand or I'll pick up a bug in my hand just let it out.
Did Mr. Miyagi teach you how to do this?
Yes.
That's amazing that you're that fast.
Well, sometimes, you know.
I picture you not even looking, but there's a bug behind you and you just reach up and just get it.
Yeah. I just, you know, sometimes, although, you know, the funny thing is when you get a fly in your house, the thing really wants to get outside and
sure.
You open the door and you try and like direct it out. It never works. And then, you know, several weeks go by and that dumb fly is just getting slower and slower.
Yeah, right.
At that point, I got to swat it.
Yeah. And it's time.
But
I think you're doing it a favor there.
Yeah, because it's like
I'm
in a funhouse mirror. I can't get out of this place. Every window, I think, is an opening.
Yeah.
But the spiders, I'm not going to take from the outside light fixture. And where do I move them? To the neighbor's house? I don't know what to do. So I might have to kill them.
Yeah.
Miss Muffet's Revenge Spider Killer.
That's the name of it?
Yeah.
That's a great name. I don't know who came up with it, but good for them. When I was doing the night show, I talked about this. We have this in our garage. There's a room in the corner that's kind of like a supply room. It's almost like a closet, you know? I don't know why they built it. I would have just left it open, but whoever owned the house before us, they decided to do it this way. In that room, we get these spiders that are like reverse spiders. Like they're spiders, but what you see is like their exoskeleton, and they jump like grasshoppers, and they're pretty good size. And all of a sudden, they will just, they'll scurry around a little bit and then jump, I'm not making this up, 2 feet in the air, and it's the scariest thing you ever saw.
That would scare me.
And when I mentioned this on the night show, I had a bunch of callers and texters who knew exactly what they were, and they knew exactly which wall in the garage they would live in, because it has to do with cold air and moisture somehow coming to a convergence, and they like that corner of an a garage.
Well, there's a door on there, right?
There is a door, but it doesn't lead to the outside.
No, but they want to go where it's dark and they can hide.
Right.
So they
can
jump at you.
It's the craziest thing. Like the first time I saw one, I went, I hope I never see one of those again. And then that summer, it was the first summer we lived there. I must have seen 50 of them during the year. They're like I said, they're good sized. They jump real super high, and they look like an abomination of nature because you're seeing what looks like their skeleton on the outside.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, they're hideous.
They're God's creatures.
It's one
though.
Of. Oh, of course they're God's creatures. Of course they are. But he was taking a day off because they really look like. It's one of those things. I know I've used this example before, but sometimes when I see things like that, I say, thank goodness they're that size, because if they were 10 times that size, the world would come to an end. You wouldn't want to see anything that big just leaping that high up in the air.
Jumping spiders are a group of spiders that constitute the family.
In Latin, please.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Please, in Latin.
Salticidae.
Yep, Salticidae's.
They're, all right, this will make your skin crawl.
Try the caramel Salticidae's if you like those. Oh, are they delicious?
The sea salt.
The sea salt Salticidae's. I could eat a dozen of those without even blinking. Now I'm hungry.
Here, you want to be grossed out?
Yes, please.
The family of jumping spiders has roughly 635 types of them.
Oh, we'll go through them one by one, and I'll tell you which one these are. This won't take long.
Do they have like little pincers in the front, kind
of? No, I don't think they do.
Jumping.
What you notice most is that it looks like a skeleton has been. I'm sorry, like a spider has been turned inside out. I don't know that spiders even have skeletons. I can't imagine that they do. Do they? I don't think they do. But this looks like if it did, and somebody turned it inside out. Which would be a cruel thing.
It would be, but I just...
And then they jump, like you see it, and you go, oh, is that scary? Look at how... Ah! And then it just jumps at you.
I just had a close-up view of a spider. I don't know if you saw me, but I truly had the heebie-jeebies, literally...
Like space creatures.
Jumping spiders belong to a big family. Jumping spiders are members of the Salticidae family. Didn't they used to live by you?
The Salticidae's lived by us. They had an above-ground pool.
They moved, didn't they?
Yeah, they moved to Elmhurst. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know why you're funny to me.
Well, their dad got transferred.
Oh.
So they moved out to Elmhurst.
I wish them the best.
Yep.
It's not an overstatement to say that a reunion among members of that family would need a pretty big space. 610 recognized extant and fossilized genera and more than 5,800 described species of jumping spiders.
Oh, wow. There's a lot.
Oh, this makes jumping spiders the largest family of spiders in the world.
Wait, so there are more jumping spiders than there are creepy crawly spiders? I would not have guessed that.
And jumping spiders come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes.
And
this
flavors.
This is MotherNatureNetwork.com.
Well, Mother Nature has a cruel sense of humor, Wendy.
She does.
She really does.
It's not nice to fool her.
No, I wouldn't fool her. But you've seen things where you go, oh, that's scary in and of itself, but imagine if it were, I use 10 times the size, but because that's significant. With these, seriously, it would be like a sci-fi movie if you saw these things.
What was that, Arachnophobia? Remember that movie with Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels was in that, and John Goodman was in that. And a lot of spiders.
Jumping spiders are everywhere. The 2015 paper from the Journal of Arachnology referenced blah, blah, blah. They're found in just about every habitat in the world except for extreme polar regions. Oh. So freeze them.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a great idea.
The only way to get away from jumping spiders is to go to...
Scream. Run and scream.
Arctic or Antarctica. Jumping spiders mostly reside in tropical areas, but they'll hang out in chillier climates as well. They don't have super legs. It would be easy to think that these tiny creatures have insanely muscular legs, given their ability to leap up to 50 times their own body length.
All right, so the ones I'm describing are probably 3 to 4 inches in diameter, but I'm not making this up. They can jump at least 2 to 3 feet in the air, and possibly more. But when you see it, because it's just, it's crawling along like a regular spider, and like in the early days, the last thing I thought was, this thing will jump up way, way, way up high. And it did.
They're freaky, man. They are able.
I have a really creepy part of the story that I left out. One time I killed one. I was in our family room, also doubles as a our garage doubles as a family room. We never park in the garage. We've had it heated and then we use it as a big family room. And one night I was in there building Legos and one of these things crawled up by me and I saw it and I made a loud screamy noise. I guess you'd call it screaming.
Not just a screamy noise, it was a fact screaming.
To those of you just now experimenting with the English language, let's say for the sake of argument, I screamed when I saw this. And then I took a newspaper and I swatted it and I killed it, right? And then I didn't clean it. It was on, like, we have tile in our garage / family room. I left it there and just didn't think about it. And then the next day I went, I got to clean that thing up because somebody's going to be in there and they're going to see that thing. And it's horrifying. And now it's all in shreds and stuff. And I went to the same place to where it was the previous day and it was gone. There was no sign of it at all.
So, of course, what happens in that case is it gets up, it pulls itself together.
It came back to life. It reanimated.
Bigger.
Ah, with
it
a,
comes,
and now...
Yes,
with
it's out to get you.
It wants me now.
When's the last time you built Legos?
Yesterday. That was fine. No reoccurring incident. But don't think I don't always have my eye open for it now, especially now that
it's
I know
gone.
That they can come back from the dead. It was in pieces. It was in shreds.
Dig this, Bill, if you will.
I will.
Jumping spiders do not use webs to hunt. Traditionally, other spiders use a web to capture something.
Yeah, a fly or something.
The jumping abilities are how they catch their prey. They find a target, extend their legs, and launch after their meal, which is typically small insects. A little bit of venom and...
Bless you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Are you allergic to flying spiders?
I think so. Regal jumping spiders have been known to attack and eat small frogs and lizards.
Oh, my gosh. A frog.
They can't produce enough venom to hurt us, but they can certainly jump on us.
They can scare us.
They can train... This is a new side job for you.
What is that?
Again, this is MotherNature.com. Jumping spiders can be trained to jump on command.
So I would spend some time. If I knew the end result would be that I would entertain people... And then I could make a few extra bucks. I would work on that, on an act with jumping spiders. Would you come to see it?
No. Well, you know what? I would.
I could see this being a successful side job. I would still keep this job, but some days I'd have to leave early for rehearsals and stuff.
But you would have fun because, again, this is just fascinating. These are 10 wild and crazy facts about jumping spiders. They can sing and dance to woo mates, just like you.
That's incredible. See, I would not have guessed that. Now, can I ask you a question based on what you just said? If you were a spider and given the choice, they say to you, Wendy Spider, you can either jump to get your prey, jump really high, or you can have the ability to spin webs. Which would you choose? That's tough, isn't it?
It is tough. I'd probably want to jump.
I think I'd go jump, too.
Because a web is cool, and, you know, you could be a designer spider where people would really appreciate your artwork. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think jumping is the way to go.
Jumping's better. I'm with you, too. Yeah, you're right. Because a kid, a lot of times a kid comes in and he sees the web and they just want to destroy it right away. But if a kid sees you, a jumping spider, they go, no, this is something. We have something here. This spider can do tricks I never imagined. And you say you can teach them to sing and dance?
Yeah, that's what they said.
That'd be great. That would be so cool.
I just lost the page.
I would like to do a production of Hamilton using all spiders.
That's your wife calling you.
I'm already getting calls. Oh, the VFW Hall in Elk Grove Village wants to book us for September 9th. How about that?
Are you open?
Yeah, wide open. This is going to be a big show, Wendy.
That's just for a short time. We have gotten some texts because the White Sox are playing on 720 WGN.
On your terrestrial radio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some kind of action going on.
Oh, good for you. Wink, wink.
On my computer, some window.
Wow. You're the most honest person I've ever met. Hey, I like doing the bonus hour, but I got some action going on, so I'm going to have to take off. All right. We'll find something to do.
That's what bonus means.
Right. It does.
I guess there were some weird sounds going on the stream. See, this was very foreign and weird to us because the White Sox, Andy Mazur does a great job with the pregame.
Yeah.
And he was on 720, I believe at 11:30 to 12. And then the first pitch was like noonish.
Yeah.
Right? 11:50 or something.
Uh-huh.
But there were things like... I hate to say best of, but there were previously recorded excerpts of us talking to John Williams, Judy Pylak, and we were listening to it here, and it sounded very distorted and kind of phased out, digitally phased.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't able to open up the app to see if that's how people were hearing it, but I guess that's how people were hearing
it. Oh, that's not good.
So I don't know if it's been fixed.
This will sound horrible, but I'm going to blame Andy Mazur for that.
Oh, don't do that.
Well, he comes in with a magnet and he runs it over all of our equipment and then he cackles and he leaves. So I don't know what he's doing, but it's not to our benefit.
And I guess there was a loop on the stream.
On the loop.
It was a loop of Judy, Bill, and Wendy talking about voting.
Oh.
And
it didn't sound right?
No. And this is my favorite text. What's going on the WGN app? Replaying the same conversation, flipping back and forth. Is Bill and Wendy, Bill Unleashed, coming on?
Oh. Well, this is it, isn't it? Or is this a rerun? This might have already happened, Wendy. I don't remember. I think we already did this. I think this is a previously recorded show.
Sounds like one.
I'm pretty sure it is. Did we do Spider Talk yet?
No.
We didn't do it yet? All right.
No, but I guess we're back on track and
everything's fixed.
Yeah.
Take that, Andy Mazur.
Do you notice spider sacks, too? Because there are little sacks by the spiders. Now, does that mean there's baby spiders in there? And I just want to know how these spiders get up on the 18th floor. I mean, I know
and
you're...
why go so high?
Yeah, I mean...
what's in it for them to come up this high?
I guess more protection, less street noise, a better view.
What if you were a spider, though, that was afraid of heights, and you're climbing and climbing and climbing, and then you look down and you go, what have I done? I'd be too paralyzed to even go back down that way.
No, because you have a web. You have... just stuff coming out of your butt, time. So
silk?
You could just, yeah.
Don't say silk in front of me. I'm fine with that.
It's like Spider-Man. He can...
yeah.
And I've seen that happen where, you know, like, if you do find a web at your house, it is so beautiful and intricate. It's like a snowflake.
Yes, it is.
No two of them are alike.
Yeah, it's magical.
But you see them, like, kind of drop down, and they're...
right. Silk?
Pooping a net.
I don't think that's what they're doing.
No, but it's coming out of an orifice near there.
Yeah.
So that's how they get down.
Silk maker. That's a common phrase in the spider community. Come on, shake your silk maker, baby. That's what spiders say all the time. It's like their most popular phrase.
Shake your silk maker.
Baby.
But that's how, if they got up too high, that's how they'd get down, is they'd be to repel.
But think for a spider, like we're on the 18th floor and we look down and we say, boy, that's a long way. A spider is just a portion of the size of you and me. This is really high for them. This is way more than just the 18th floor for them because they're so wee. that's the first time I've ever said that in conversation ever. That was fun.
You've never read a rendition of Wee Willie Winky?
Oh, a million times, but I've never just come up with it on my own.
Could you turn your ringer off?
No. It says here, I'm trying to reach Wendy. We've got some action. Why isn't she picking up?
Why ain't she picking up?
Yeah, that's the phrase that they used. I don't know.
No, there was some pop-up thing. All right, well, we need to regroup. We have more time to fill. And then who's doing news? Do we have news today? This is all new to
me. No one's told me.
We do have news.
Who's it going to be, Jazz? Do we know?
I believe it's Kim.
Kim Gordon will do
it? Why? I saw Judy here.
Oh, well, never mind.
Maybe they'll do that thing that Bill and Walter used to do, where one of them does a story, and they'll go, Walter, like that, and then Kim will do a story, and she'll go, Bill, like that, and they'll go back and forth like Bill and Walter used to do.
I'll give you $10 if you can make that happen in the next 5 minutes.
I would love for that to happen. No one does that on radio. In radio, you only get one news person. I like the tag team. I always thought the tag team was good. Didn't
I do,
you?
Too. Have you been watching any of Tom Skilling's birthday spectaculars?
No. I've been missing it.
I have it.
I feel guilty. DVR'd it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I watched...
40 years.
I know, but...
40 years.
I'm not
years.
Knocking that, because that's huge.
That's
but Bertrand's been here like 33 years. That's pretty impressive,
yeah,
too.
Right. No, that is. I'm not downplaying that. Yeah, I guess. All right.
I mean, 40 years. I honestly thought it was longer.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I remember when he came here, just a young weather punk, you know? And now he's Tom Skilling. I mean, he was Tom Skilling then, too, but now he's known throughout the galaxy.
He was a wee Tom Skilling.
He was. That's the way to describe that version of Tom Skilling, wee Tom Skilling.
So young. I mean, obviously we were, too.
Yeah.
Coleman,
at that time, I think John Coleman was... the card to beat, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think John Coleman was the guy that, if you were looking for the foremost weather
the
expert
breakout
in town,
star.
You would have said John Coleman, right?
Because it's mixing personality with, you know, giving accurate results.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting, and I would never say this to a weather person, but I will say it to you because I don't consider you a weather person.
Oh, I'm a weather fan.
You're a fan of the weather. But your job is not to talk about weather. But a lot of times when you watch a weather forecast, they're not just forecasting what's coming. They'll tell you what's already happened. And I find myself saying, I know. I know this. I already saw it. I already experienced this. And my, not Tom Skilling, but your B and C and D level weathercasters, I go, I think they're telling me this to assure that they get part of this right. You know what I mean? Like, they could tell you what today was.
Yeah.
Today was in the 60s. We had 70s. There was a little bit of rain and stuff like that. And I go, well, yeah, they got that part right because it happened.
But don't you want to know, like, when some major storm happened, don't you want to know the aftermath of it?
If it's big. Like, if it's just normal, I just go, well, yeah,
I'm okay with hearing, you know, we had huge storms coming out here, you know, an hour ago.
If it's something extreme, then I think they should spend some time on it. But if it's just another day with no big deal, you know, they always show you, they go, this is the 13th hottest day we've had since, and you just go, well, all right, that's good news, I guess.
How can a weather person, this isn't a joke. I swear it isn't, but it's something to ponder. Did you say ponder? Did you have me ponder something earlier today?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
How does a weather person in California, why do they have a job?
It's the same
isn't it the same thing every day?
Yeah.
With the, you know, obviously the fires are really bad right now and there are exceptional things that do happen. That's when you call in a special report. But for the most part, why do they even have weather?
Somebody used to do a joke about the weatherman in San Diego going, well, it was 81 today and it'll be 81 tomorrow. And through the weekend, you'll have 81 and next week 81 and next year 81. It's just always the same. There's very little variance.
I can see where
that said. Skilling's a genius.
He is. And I can see where he likes weather. It's pretty cute. He was on Talking with Ro.
He doesn't like weather.
I know. He lives it, loves it, breathes it.
Yes.
And he was on with Ro and Anna, and they were talking about... see, I'm with Tom. I love fall. Fall is a beautiful time of the year. But he said, you know, I also don't really... Tom Skilling speaking, saying, I also really don't mind when it snows.
Yeah.
And it is pretty. And the first few snows are awesome. It's just, you know, when it's like an abundance where you have to keep shoveling 50 times and it doesn't stop or the roads get really bad. But if we could just have snow that kind of glistens and covers the grass and not the streets.
Right.
Can't we figure some way out to have that kind of snow?
To chemically engineer
or heat the streets or freeze the streets.
Oh, that's
where it just falls on the trees and the grass. Wouldn't that change everything you've ever thought of for
yes.
winter?
Yes.
It would make it not so bad.
Along those same lines, you know how we're always talking about how quickly time goes as we get older. Time just goes faster. Would time go faster or slower if we didn't experience the seasons the way we do?
I think slower.
I bet you're right. I bet it would be slower, wouldn't it?
You need something to signify change.
To
and if everything's the same every day, it's like...
It would kind of drag more, but then wouldn't you feel like you were getting more for your dollar?
Nope.
You wouldn't?
That's why when we were in Anaheim outside of Disneyland, I said, you know, this is great and everything, but if I lived here, I would be bored. It's the same thing every day.
Yeah.
It's warm, no humidity, and it's kind of cool at night.
Yeah.
It's great, trust me, but I don't know. I feel like if I lived there, every day would be the same, and it would be like Groundhog Day. Like, sometimes there's something to be said where you hear a thunderstorm, or, like I said, when it snows in the winter. It's nice to just have some kind of variety.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I just wish there was some way, you know, with climate change and everything, scientists could work out a way to make our summer a little longer.
Yeah.
And then, and I don't even need the summer that much longer. I just want winter shorter.
Yes.
If it was two months of winter, I could live with it. And I promise you I wouldn't complain.
Well, you still would. You'd find something. You would find something. But I know how much fall means to you, but it's my least favorite season of the four.
Because you're dreading winter.
Well, no, because winter's my second favorite. It goes summer, winter, spring, fall for me. And I think it's because in the fall, once the weather starts to turn cold, I say to myself, well, now I've got like 7 or 8 months of this. You know, there's some breaks along the way,
does.
But for the most part, you're really looking realistically at about 7 months of cold.
What if it was only 2 months?
I would love that. Would be the best thing in the world.
Is there anywhere
let
on
that
this
happen
world that you could get
10 months of summer and 2 months of winter?
But not just 10 months of summer. You'd have fall and spring as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be the That'd dumbest be right. question I ever say, and I probably shouldn't reveal it on
no,
the
No, do
air.
It, do it, do it.
Do other people have four seasons like we do, or is that just...
It. You mean globally?
Yeah.
Well, they do technically, but in some places the weather...
It doesn't vary as
it
much?
It doesn't vary anywhere near as much. I wasn't kidding about San Diego. It's kind of the same all year round. It goes up a little bit, and it goes down a little bit, but for the most part, it's kind of always the same. You know, I visited friends there. One of my best friends lives in San Diego, and in his closet, there's nothing in his closet. Because he goes, you know how when we lived at home, when his family lived in Chicago, he goes, you got stuff for the winter, for the fall, for the spring. I don't have that. I know that I can wear kind of the same clothes all year round.
Wow, that gives you more closet room.
Yeah. That's why you live in San Diego. You get a lot of more closet room.
I guess. Judy Pilek is here. Bill wanted to work it out, so we didn't know if you or Kim was doing the news. And Bill wanted he had a plan for both of you.
Remember, Judy, how on Chicago TV for years and years they would have like co-anchors? Like they'd have John Drury and Fahey Flynn,
right.
Bill and Walter. So I thought you and Kim could bring that
back.
They
still have co-anchors.
They still do that to some extent.
On all
every
of
night.
Every single,
they definitely have co-anchors.
Yeah.
The only time is on the weekends they'll have one anchor.
Just one.
That's
Robbie,
not fair.
Not
by
even
the way.
All of them. Right. Some of them still do the two.
That's not fair when there's just one anchor because,
too
I mean,
much
sometimes
pressure.
You have to breathe, you have to swallow.
And the weekends, they're longer stories you read, and sometimes you
That's
redo the story.
Yeah.
In those,
I thought you and Kim could bring that to radio.
I think that would have
been
a
great
idea.
You do a story and you go, Kim, to you. Over to
would
you.
Like, well, let's try it out today. Let me go get her.
Are you all right for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, let's
Hold
do
on.
That.
All
Won't
right.
that be fun?
That's another thing I'm jealous about you for. Whatever. I said that wrong. Because you came up with this idea, and I said, we'll try and make that happen in 5 minutes. And the sick thing is, you did.
Yeah, how about that? That's amazing, right?
Sick of you.
No. It's good for everybody because I think this is the new wave of radio. The old wave was great. One anchor. But this is more dimensional.
Bertrand will not go for this during the regular our regular show.
He
does not want to share.
He doesn't want to share the glory of the news.
No.
Judy, selfless.
He is not a glory sharer.
Not a glory sharer, Steve. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we will issue in a new... This is a new age for radio news. This is the co-anchors. Just, we've always dreamt this. And
it's like a sitcom. The co-anchors.
The co-anchors. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, how exciting is this?
I'm pretty excited.
We dreamed it, and they built it.
That's already used by
Is that
someone.
Already being used? All right, so in the history of Chicago television, it's always been a thing to have co-anchors on the news. I used the examples of Bill and Walter, of John Drury and Fahey Flynn.
And then Judy pointed out that they do that every night.
Mm-hmm. They do it every
and
night.
And it's girls and boys, too.
Yeah,
not just
but
boys.
You know what? This is the Savannah Guthrie to the Hoda Kotb.
What a good... Kim, perfect way of saying
Whoa.
It.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was going to say Linda Yu and... You Darvish for a while. It was the UU News. Remember they tried that for a little while? That didn't work. But I thought, why don't we do this on radio? One anchor's great. Two anchors even better.
Well,
and you
don't
guys
they
have
do
agreed.
That on a competitive radio station that Wendy likes to sometimes?
I don't know what you're talking about because I could do it all by myself.
You don't need Pat. Pat's weighing you down, isn't
Pat?
He?
Who?
Yeah.
Actually, I should say Pat Whom.
Yes, that's more grammatically correct, Felicia. So true, so true. So it's a new experiment in WGN Radio. Co-anchors, I think it's going to be the hit. I think it's going to be the biggest
the
hit of all time.
Co-anchors, a new sitcom coming to a radio station near you.
Great.
Starring who? Who's starring?
Wendy, it's Kim Gordon and Judy Pilek together. Finally, we've dreamt it, and here it is. It's news time. Take it away.
Well, one of the organizers of the protest that shut down Lakeshore Drive now has his sights set on shutting down O'Hare on Labor Day. The Reverend Gregory Livingston says he's planning to disrupt traffic on the Kennedy going into the airport around 11 or noon. He says he hasn't talked to police or City Hall at this point about the plan. Kim?
Thanks, Judy. One of the organizers of the protest that shut down Lakeshore Drive. Oh, wait.
Same one. Sorry,
Same
my
one.
Mistake.
Uh-oh.
Fire her. I want to be
Oh, no. It's gone horribly awry.
And wait, right now the camera's panning all over the place.
Right. A dizzying
just go
camera
to the next
spin.
One, Kim.
The prosecution has asked jurors to return a guilty verdict on all 18 counts as they wrapped up closing arguments in the tax and bank fraud trial of one-time Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. His lawyers are expected to get their turn this afternoon. Judy?
Homes near the bridge that collapsed in Genoa might have to be destroyed. Italy's infrastructure minister says about 630 people living in those buildings. 39 people were killed.
Sports and weather next on WGN. WGN Sports, the White Sox visit Detroit today. They're playing right now, and the Cubs getting ready to play Milwaukee. Judy?
WGN Weather Center forecast today, cloudy on and off showers, a few thunderstorms, the high 80. Tonight, much of the same, low 70. And tomorrow, much of the same, the high 82. It'll be cooler lakeside. Those are the headlines. I'm Judy Pilek.
your dream came true.
Wasn't that great? I enjoyed it. Thank you both so much. That was so much fantastic.
The co-anchor starring Judy Pilak and Kim Gordon.
Yep, on the WB. I just thought there was more depth, you know?
Yeah, it was snappier.
It was faster.
More interesting.
Yeah, I'll tell you,
it's much more fun having a partner. I know a lot of people, including Bill, will tell you else otherwise.
Oh, not me.
But it's just so much fun and easier when you have someone to bounce stuff off
and there's
of.
There's a vibe you work off
right.
of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you guys have that vibe. So
and when things do go wrong, you can blame the other person. And
exactly.
Go, that's
see how she looked at me when we had that little mix-up? And I was like, what? Read the next one. Not my fault that I put two stories in at the same once.
Stuff happens. Yeah. It's all right.
All right. Well, White Sox baseball is on WGN AM 720 right now. The rest of the schedule will be happening via stream for the rest of the day. So we have to be on time. Usually we work 2 minutes overtime every day, so we have to just budget our time a little better.
So true, so true. Wendy, there's been a sad celebrity death.
Oh,
are you in the mood for sad news? Are you okay?
Did this just happen?
It happened yesterday.
Chances are it's not that sad or I would have heard about it.
Oh, maybe, maybe. Don't play it yet, but do you have the audio that you do have that ready? All right. I will tell you the name. And then more than likely you'll say, I don't know who that is. And then I will play you the audio, and then you'll go, oh.
Okay.
I still don't know who that is. Then I will tell you what they did, and you will say, wow, how did I not know about this? Morgana King has passed away, Wendy.
I think I know who she is.
Oh, do you know who this is? What was that? What did you just do? Judy,
did you want me to leave the room?
I saw that.
I blew you a kiss. Not Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
No.
Oh, you see where...
Okay, that explains that weird...
I mean, you didn't say anything. You just puckered up and blew the kiss right in front of me.
I didn't want to give it away.
Offended and aroused at the exact same time. Were you, Jude? I was. I didn't know what to make of that.
You know what? I just tried acting like I didn't see it. Did you see me turn away right away?
Let's all agree that never happened, all right? What we just saw, let's all agree.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Can you see the Kissing Bandit, Morgana? That's the only Morgana I know.
No, that's not Morgana.
And her sister, Organza.
Let's, again, if we could just somehow go back in time and pretend that didn't happen. I'm trying to remember what that Morgana's last name was. But it was not Morgana. It was just Morgana?
I'll find out.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
All right.
I'm impressed that she knew a Morgana. I've never heard that.
That's why I blew him a kiss, because I thought, what are the odds of somebody else being named Morgana?
Right, exactly.
I don't think I've ever blown you a kiss before.
He described as a celebrity, so.
Yes. Well, although.
She was a
celebrity. I would call her. I think she was a very low-level celebrity. Morgana
the one you're
going to
talk about? Oh, okay.
No, this one.
Morgana Roberts.
Morgana Roberts.
She's an entertainer who became known as Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
And I think she may
have... Was she on Laughing?
No.
Okay.
No.
That was Carol Wayne.
Yeah, that was Carol Wayne. I think Morgana Roberts, I think, may have appeared in some softcore adult films as well.
What?
I think. I'm pretty sure.
But I'm asking, is your Morgana,
is
you
Morgana?
Described as a celebrity?
Well, she was on with Johnny Carson. She made the rounds.
Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
Yeah.
She would qualify. The one, Morgana King, the one I'm talking about, was famous on a couple different levels for different things. But one thing in particular, she was immensely famous for. But I will now play a tape for you of her performing. And you will still not know who this is. Listen to this. This is Morgana King. Hubba, hubba. Now there it was appropriate.
Thank you.
Because when you hear this music...
It makes me want to kiss.
It makes the world want to kiss. This is just as romantic as can be.
We should have this
Morgana
as our new theme.
Sounds like a man.
Judy.
She's en français. How do you
beautiful.
Say sing?
Chantreuse?
I know she's like a baritone.
She's a chantreuse.
Chantreuse.
She's chartreuse. That could be liver problems.
No, that's yellow. Jaundice.
Jaundice. But this is her singing.
This should be
a
our
song.
New theme song, although Ima Sumac's pretty
this
great.
Is beautiful.
It is lovely.
This reminds me of being under the sea. Does it?
Sounds okay, like SpongeBob.
I don't know why, but I feel like I'm underwater when I hear this.
Because it's a bad recording.
Are you being serious that it's beautiful? Because
it's very...
It has a very soothing quality to me.
I'd like to be spooling pasta, having some vino.
Wouldn't that be nice with this song
Maybe
playing in the
crepe?
Background? Yep.
All right. This doesn't, again, who?
Like, but I predicted this,
yes,
right?
Yes, you did.
The name will mean nothing to you. I'll play a tape of her performing, and that'll mean nothing to you. What if I told you that she played a role, the matriarchal role, in one of the most pivotal films of all time? Who would you guess that to be? That she played the mom in one of the most important movies ever made? Would that help or hurt?
One of the most important movies or popular?
One of the most important and popular and famous movies of all time.
Okay, let's try to guess that one first, Wendy.
And I will also say
like
this about
Gone with
her.
The Wind, or
she was not the
Birth
mother
of a Nation.
No. That was she would
the
have been 132.
Oh yeah, she just died.
She just died 2 days ago, so it couldn't be Birth of a Nation. No.
The Graduate.
Think about that. No, that's Anne Bancroft.
I pass myself off as Mrs. Robinson all the time. I'll tell you.
You remind me of Anne Bancroft a little bit.
Judy?
Do
does?
I?
Yeah.
Do I really?
Oh.
Bill, I don't have any ideas. The most important movie ever made.
One of the most important.
Ben-Hur.
No. There was no,
I don't know.
There was no mom in Ben-Hur.
Everyone has a mom.
Yes, Ben-Hur.
Mrs. Hur. Can Ben come out?
Ben, and there's her.
Yeah, it's Ben-Hur.
I never thought, but I think they spelled it H-U-R.
Yeah, all right, let's see.
Everyone has mom. You're right.
Let's give one of the most.
More hints.
All right, I will say this. The movie came out in the 1970s, and she, Morgana King, was only in a handful of other projects, even though she was magnificent in this role, just fantastic in the role. She was only in a couple of other minor movies and television shows.
And this was the most important movie of our time?
In
the 1970s?
Yes. One of the most groundbreaking, important movies of all time. One of the most popular movies of all time.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Nope. Mm-mm. That was in the 80s, by the way.
The Sting? I like Scott Joplin.
I think we all like Scott Joplin, but do you remember a part where Paul Newman said to Robert Redford, I'll check with my mom and see if we can swing this? I don't remember
that scene
happening.
But the mom wasn't pivotal, so...
The mom was pivotal.
Oh, okay, in that film.
She was not the most important part of the movie by far, but yes, extremely pivital.
Give us the clue as to the, give us
All
the
right,
first
I will,
letter
I will give
of
you another
the
clue.
Movie.
No, that would give it away. That would give it away.
That's a stupid clue.
She played the same role not only in the movie, but in its sequel as well.
What?
Yeah.
Yep, the most pivotal, important movie of our time.
The most
sequel.
Groundbreaking,
Jaws?
Pivotal, important. No.
That was a good guess.
That was Lorraine Gray.
That was a good guess, Jimmy.
That was a great guess, but no. Morgana King is her name. She just died. She was 87 years old.
The Shining.
No. Shelley Duvall was the mom in The Shining.
Ah, darn it.
One of the biggest...
Here's Mommy. Remember when
it's got to be some important cultural, like...
Yep.
What movie does everyone know? What about...
What about what?
The Big Chill.
No.
No, that movie, the tearjerker.
What is it?
She dies and... No,
Love Story. Oh, great guess. Incorrect. Nope.
And obviously, is this
the one where
French?
Deborah Winger dies? She has spoiler alert.
No.
No. That was not the 70s. That was like the 90s.
You can't just mention movies and who died in them. That's not... We can't do that.
Well, obviously, we have no clue, and you're not giving us good ones.
Better not be like Star Wars or...
It's not Star Wars. Should I turn over all the cards?
No, because someone just texted. Can I give a texter credit?
Yeah.
619 says Godfather.
Morgana King.
I should have played. As soon as he said the most
we
important.
We are so dumb.
Played Carmella Carleone, the mother.
Corleone.
From The Godfather. She was Marlon Brando's wife in The Godfather. Now, may I share a couple of fun facts? Because if you ever watch The Godfather with me, it's the only time I ever do this with any movie. I will stop it 100 times and point things out so that people have the same appreciation of the movie and also detest me while we're watching the
game. I would like to see that. I know Nick DiGilio has his movie club, but maybe you can guest host, and I would like to go see that.
I would, too, would because you guys do that? I am not a huge Godfather fan, but I think it's because I saw it. Yeah. I think.
You didn't live it like Bill
did. I didn't live it, and I didn't appreciate it. I didn't care, and now, all these years later, it's like I missed this epic movie.
You guys.
Right, so I need to go back. I don't even know that I've seen all of it.
Judy.
You know, when did it come out, The Godfather?
1972.
Okay, right. That's because it was 1972 and I was 12.
Nick DiGilio has all these movie clubs, his movie nights. He should invite you as a guest.
And do The Godfather that night?
Yeah.
On the big screen.
I would want to do it, though. If I was going to do that, I'd want to do the whole thing.
That's too long. I'm not going to sit there.
It's too long.
Just pick one. The original Godfather.
And I don't think you should stop the movie, but after the movie, I think you should go back and say, remember this scene? Because they did that with, what's the I See Dead People?
Sixth Sense.
That was the first time I had watched the after part, and I saw that movie way after everyone else saw it.
Me too.
And I couldn't believe it wasn't spoiled. I know, right? And I loved when the directors came on and said, all right, because people are accusing us of not being fair.
Right.
And they went back and showed, we didn't pull the seat out at the restaurant.
Right.
It was already kind of out, and he could have. I love that.
Yeah. Isn't that entertaining?
Yes, so you could work that out.
We should do that with Nick.
When I forced one of my daughters to watch The Godfather with me, because Kylie wants to go into the film business, and she hadn't seen The Godfather or Godfather 2 and didn't even know Godfather 3 existed. And I said, if I was hiring for people to work on a movie and you told me that, I would not hire you just because of that. Because if somebody goes, I've heard The Godfather's good, but I've never seen it, I'd go, I can't work with you.
Because it was just such a good film.
It's not just a good film, it's perfect.
And director-wise,
that's what I mean. Yeah. The film, not so much the acting and the story, but the actual film. And
everything about it is perfect.
Okay.
They've made no mistakes.
And did your daughter agree after seeing it?
She found it to be boring.
She did not watch the
whole
thing.
She did not like it at all.
Oh, well, now you just lost me.
Well, I have not spoken to her since.
But she's a film person.
Right. I know.
Yeah, but it's a different time now, and, you know.
No, I hate when people say that.
That's a classic that stands up forever.
Because I always have a problem when I read, I'm sorry, Hemingway, and people are like, well, for his time. I'm like, no, but good writing should be good writing always.
Right.
Same with film. So your film daughter.
Right. Hmm. It's very upsetting to me that she did. So my other daughter, Reese, felt so bad for me that she then watched the rest, and she kind of loved. She goes, oh, that was good. You know, not great the way it is, but she goes, oh, that was good. But here's what I did for them. I would, and I never do this in movies, I would stop it every once in a while, and I would point something out. And I go, here's what you need to know. That's the first time in a movie they ever did this, or they tried this, or they brought this in.
That's so cool.
Right? So here's a couple of things about Mama Corleone. Corleone. They keep, by the way, during The Godfather.
Back and forth.
They keep going back and forth. Sometimes they refer to the family as Corleone, sometimes Corleone.
Sicilians
very frequently drop the last consonant. So that's very true to life.
Yeah. All right, so a couple of things about her. Thing number one, when they made the movie, she was only a couple of years older than the actors playing her sons. Like James Caan, she's, I think, 4 years older than James Caan. I'm trying to think of who else was just a couple. Al Pacino was quite a bit younger than the other guys. But the other guys are all about the same age.
She was married to Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando in the movie. Also, when they made, like, I hate to say it, for people who haven't seen The Godfather, her character does not live throughout the sequence of the Godfather movies. So she was so freaked out at the scene where Mama Corleone or Corleone would be in the casket that she said to them, I can't do this scene. And they got somebody else to
like
play.
Like a stand-in corpse?
Yeah, because she was uncomfortable.
Talk about easy money.
Yeah, but that would make me uncomfortable, too, to lay in a casket.
It was actually Coppola, the director, he got his mother to do it. He goes, Mom, you got to help me out with this. We can't get this. She won't get in the casket. I'll do it. So in that scene, when you see her, they shoot it from an angle where you don't really see the face. You don't realize it's not.
See, I love all these little tidbits.
Right.
This is like a behind the music, but a behind the movie.
Rock Impresario, Jerry Aldini.
It's Steve Aldini, but whatever. You should, seriously, wouldn't you watch something like this?
Yeah, now I want to see it.
I will come to people's houses.
But I do think there is some element of that that genre you like. It's like, you know, like the Rocky movies. I mean, I love Rocky, the first one. That was such a different, I get it. But, you know, all these years later,
right?
Maybe it's not for everyone. People would be like, well, this is so dumb. You know, but
trust me.
So
when I
guess
tell you,
it is when you live through the era.
It will hold up forever. There's
okay,
no
we'll
way
see.
In the world.
It didn't hold up for your daughter.
No, I know.
But she's not interested in.
But she's a film person. That's why I'm.
That's upsetting to me.
That's why I've got to tell you. Don't get mad at me if
no, I
because.
Won't. I know.
You know, my son's
but
a film. My son's a movie person.
See if you like The Godfather.
I will.
Because it's that age. That's not. Mob movies were very prevalent, and that, you know, Goodfellas, I love.
But you know what? In and of it being a mob movie.
Yeah, you're saying it goes beyond
that. It's a movie that is so perfect in structure,
right.
And it really is a movie about family. It is a mob movie, but it's so much more than a mob movie.
Because Colin will suggest movies to me that are just beautiful, you know, and it's true. I appreciate what he's saying about the whole magnificence of the movies.
But a common moviegoer doesn't see that.
And I have Colin to tell me, like Bill, what I should be looking for.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Then when he says it that way, I'm like, wow, you're right.
Yeah, we have to break because there's other shows coming on the stream.
I'm sorry to hear about Mama Corleone.
Yeah.
Morgana.
Judy, thank you for hanging out with us. We'll close things off next.
No money.
Wow, WGN.
All right, that about does it for us. This is when we close out the show, Bill, and we're going to hand off the radio baton to someone.
Yes.
John Williams is in the studio. Welcome to the stream.
Hi, campers.
Hi, John. How are you?
Totally groovy. Phil Vitale joins us Wednesdays on the radio show.
Yeah.
He's going to join us today on the stream.
Do you know who he sounds like? I listen to your show every day on the way home.
Thank you for that.
And I was trying to figure out, first of all, anytime Phil even talks, I salivate because it just, you think of food. He sounds like Patton Oswalt to me.
He does a little sound like Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
Wow. I'll
keep
bounce
that in
off
mind today.
Yeah. And
John,
I've also heard your show.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
That one time.
I thought when you said you know who he sounds like to me, I thought you were going to say, who does John Williams? Todd, who do I sound like to you?
People tell you Alan Alda, don't they?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
I used to get Howard Stern once in a while.
That I don't see at all.
Here or here. But sure.
Maybe if you were a little more riled up, I could kind of hear it, maybe.
Yeah.
So Patton Oswalt's going to join us.
Patton Oswalt.
We'll talk a little bit about the food scene. Violetta, producer Griffin, and I just went over to the Rock and Roll McDonald's. Now it's a more modern space age McDonald's.
Yeah.
A full review of the food in the facility.
I can't wait to hear that. Can you at least tell us what you had? Big Mac?
Oh, I went with the hockey puck fries and a soda.
Good move.
Hockey puck fries?
That's a solid move.
A burger.
Yeah.
The burger.
Oh.
I just got burger.
The standard burger.
With cheese on it?
Nope.
You're that person who doesn't eat a cheeseburger?
I had a hamburger.
I've never heard of anyone. I've never known anyone who's had a hamburger.
Anyway, we'll be talking about that. And also, there's a horse that is suing its owner.
I saw that. First of its time.
Your calls. We'll take your calls.
What do the other naysayers say?
Oh, my God. Now you know?
Yeah. That's what you get.
Let's see you top that
funny
guy.
Can't do it.
Boom. Let's just drop the mic and go.
John, we will be listening.
Thank you. I'm ready after the news.